And welcome back to Vocation Station. This is Father Alfredo Hernandez, the Rector President of St. Vincent de Paul Regional Seminary in Boynton Beach. And it is so good to be with you again. And this is our first program of the new year, 2026. And for me, it's a great joy to have with me one of our deacons, our transitional deacons from the Diocese of Raleigh, North Carolina, Deacon Drew Navarro. Deacon Drew, it's great to have you with us.
Thank you so much for having me today, Father Hernandez.
And Deacon Drew has been with us in formation for quite a while. He began here at St. Vincent de Paul in the, back then we called it the pre-theology program, now it would be the discipleship stage. He is studying, as I said, for the Diocese of Raleigh. He had been a med student before. He's had quite the journey. So, Deacon Drew, tell us a little bit how you got here and what your journey of formation here has been.
So, as you alluded to, Father, I'm from the Diocese of Raleigh, North Carolina. I was born and raised in Raleigh to a family with four siblings and two very loving parents. And growing up, you know, I was raised Catholic, but it probably wasn't until my high school years where I really began to, I'd say, fall in love with our faith and fall in love with Jesus Christ. And during those years, it's probably the first time I began to think of the priesthood. It would periodically come to my mind, especially during Mass. And to be honest, I was quick to push it out of my mind.
I remember that feeling myself many
yeah,
years ago.
Like any young man in high school, I had a lot of my own dreams. And they were good dreams, right? I had a desire to be a doctor. I can speak more to that soon. But all kinds of desires. I wanted to serve in the military at one point. And I certainly wanted to live my faith, but not necessarily as a priest. But that call was sort of, it had been planted in my heart at some point, and it was growing a little bit stronger in high school. But it was particularly in college where just at the invitation of a friend, began to spend a little bit more time in just personal prayer. And so I just had a habit after class each day, I'd make a visit to the Newman Center. I went to East Carolina University, and the Newman Center is basically right next to campus. And before biking up the hill to my dorm, the Newman Center would be right there. And so I just made the decision in my junior year to just make a small visit to the Blessed Sacrament because my roommate had given me this card. It was called a VIP prayer list, and it just had 10 lines on it. And the idea is you just write the names of people that you'd like to pray for, and you just keep them in prayer. And so I filled up that list with people I was meeting, family, friends back home. And just for about 5 minutes, I'd kneel before Jesus in the tabernacle and just lift them up in prayer, very simple prayer. But I found over a few weeks and then a few months of doing that, it really became the highlight of my day. At the time, I was studying engineering and enjoying that. I was working toward medical school and enjoying that. But the real highlight of my day, the thing I looked most forward to, were these little visits to our Lord. And sure enough, the idea of the priesthood started to come up in those times of prayer. And after a few months of this, I remember speaking with my chaplain and sharing with him, you know, I think the Lord might be calling me to be a priest. And as soon as I shared that, I remember feeling this tremendous peace, the most peace I've ever felt in my life, just sort of wash over me. I wish I could say that, you know, a few days later, I reached out to the vocations director. Yeah, you know, in a way, I think I still had my dreams and desires for another path in life. And the Lord in his goodness respected that. He respected my freedom. And so I, some months later, was still working toward those other dreams, those other desires that I had. At this time, too, I was dating and kind of hoping that the Lord would maybe let the idea of the priesthood go away and replace it with marriage. In so many ways, though, he was good, he was patient, and I did graduate from East Carolina University, and I entered medical school at UNC, the University of North Carolina. My dream school, I had, since being a little kid, I dreamed of studying there to be a doctor. And so a lot of things were just falling into place, but I had this restlessness in my heart. And I knew that part of me was sort of avoiding maybe what the Lord's will for my life really was. And so in the course of that year at UNC, I do believe that I was meant to go there because I met so many good people, one of whom is now a brother priest, but also many people at the Newman Center at UNC, a really good priest there who offered me just direction during that year and guidance. And at the end of that year, decided to begin the application process to seminary, and that brought me here to Florida the following fall.
Well, thank you. Thank you for sharing, and really sharing this just in a beautiful, concise way, just how God has been at work in your life. And as I'm listening to you, I'm not sure if I should call you St. Ignatius or St. Augustine, because I hear you may not have put those names may not have been in your mind back then, but certainly elements that are from the restlessness of St. Augustine. Our souls restless until they rest in you, O Lord. And really that sense of St. Ignatius and his journey. As he later said, yeah, why was it when I was reading those romances, there was a joy that kind of came and went. And as I read about the saints, that was this peace that just stayed with me. And it sounds a lot like what you were describing, Deacon Drew. Mm-hmm. And really your journey of formation here has been just a beautiful path. The world around us has been a little crazy, but I can tell you that Deacon Drew has been a man of great steadiness in his time with us. What have been some of the highlights of how God has been at work in your life in these years?
Sure. I came to seminary with certainly a sense of God's call for me. I would say any young man that comes to seminary, also a clear sense that I had a lot of room for growth as a young man. And before I was going to answer this call, the Lord wanted me to answer in some ways these smaller calls that would build up to the day of my ordination to the diaconate, for instance. And I could speak sort of to each stage of formation, because for me, they were so significant. The first 2 years of seminary, at my time, it was called pre-theology. Today, it's the discipleship stage of formation. And in some ways, this was a time to really lay the groundwork to come to a real sense of basically the Lord's love for me. Regardless of our vocation, the vocation grows out of a clear conviction that I am a beloved son, or in the case of women, a beloved daughter of God, and there's nothing I can do to earn his love, but I am called to live in his love and to respond to his love. And really those first 2 years, just here at the seminary, so many good priests, good professors, lay professors, good brother seminarians at the time, transitional deacons too, that really modeled for me what it means to be a beloved son, what it means to really receive the Lord's love and to begin to live from that love. Again, prior to seminary, I was, to put it bluntly, I was quite an ambitious student. I had sort of worked very hard to kind of prove myself, if you will, to get into medical school and things like that. But that's not at all how our Lord works. His love is unconditional, and a vocation is pure gift. It's not anything that we merit or deserve. And so really those first 2 years of seminary was sort of rewiring my mind and my heart to simply be a beloved son and let the Lord's love define me. After that, you typically make what's called candidacy, where it's a liturgy that happens within the Mass. And for the first time, In my case, it was my bishop. He calls out my name in the middle of Mass, and I say, "Here I am," or "present," just like I would at an ordination. And it's basically the first time the church recognizes you as a candidate for holy orders. And so it's sort of like a decision point in seminary formation. And I clearly remember that day being so thankful for the first 2 years of formation and then really looking forward to the next stage, which is called the configuration stage. And at this point, it's usually anywhere from 4 to 5 years. You begin to study theology. In your pastoral work, you begin to spend more time in the parish. And the idea is, and the hope and the prayer of the church is that you really take on the heart of Christ. And for me, that's been the most exciting and fun part of seminary, because you just sense yourself getting closer to ordained ministry. You begin to see brothers that you've spent many years with becoming deacons and priests. It's a beautiful time, a time where your heart is certainly stretched. And then currently I'm in the last stage of seminary formation. It's called vocational synthesis. And there's a lot of emphasis placed on life in the parish, just being a transitional deacon. And at this point, I'm looking forward to ordination to the priesthood in about 5 months' time, God willing.
Thanks be to God. Really, it's been very good to see Deacon Drew in these years, and now to see him serving in a parish that hearing great stuff about your parish work this past summer, and then working in a parish now, and really serving here in the community, and one particular role that you have here in the community is that of being a master of ceremonies. So I want to talk about that in a moment, but maybe just because that is a pastoral service, that really is a ministry in and of itself. And maybe just talk a moment about your work in the parish. Like what has it been like to serve, to celebrate baptisms, to preach, really back in your diocese when you were helping this working in a parish this past summer, and the work you're doing on weekends at a parish nearby, St. Matthew's Parish.
It's been an incredible gift, Father. And even as I say Father, you know, that's in some ways this year as a deacon.
You're an expectant father.
Yeah, exactly. And in many ways, like training to be, you know, a spiritual father. And like any dad out there knows, any priest out there knows, that's something that you grow into, and you learn lessons. You have role models to look up to, hopefully. During this entire year, it's been incredible, Father. You know, I love the opportunity, of course, to preach at the masses, to preach the gospel, the good news. Just for like in a relatively short amount of time to basically to invite myself and those listening, those present at the Mass, to an encounter with Jesus Christ. That's ultimately what our faith is all about. That's deeply fulfilling for me. As you mentioned too, celebrating baptisms. At this point, I think I've celebrated around 10 baptisms. Some of my classmates have celebrated many baptisms, but I don't think I'll ever get, it'll always be fresh and new and exciting, you know, because it's oftentimes a different family, it's of course a different child, and it's just such an incredible privilege to be present in, you know, that moment in a person's life, and then really to in some way hold them in prayer for the rest of their life. It's just an incredible gift, Father, and this whole year is sort of just given me more and more, I guess, momentum going into priestly ordination, right? Because that's, of course, that's like the ultimate goal, in some ways, the starting line. And so I'm certainly thankful to the parish that took me in this past summer, all that the people taught me, the priest there, all that they taught me. And then also the parish here in the Lake Worth area. Everything that the priests there have taught me and the people have taught me, I'm just very grateful.
That's great. No, that's terrific. And as I mentioned, you are the master of ceremonies here at the seminary, and that's a role that certainly has a particular fatherhood to it in terms of your guiding your brother deacons, all of the seminarians, and even you're telling priests where to go. You need to help us in terms of our own role at each Mass, guiding us and saying, hey, this is how I need you as concelebrants to serve. So how's that helped you to grow in your life here?
Yeah, so just to kind of, you sort of already explained it, Father, but a master of ceremonies is basically someone at a liturgy or at a Mass that kind of directs the altar servers and also directs the celebrants, and to a certain extent, the buck kind of stops with him. And so in that sense, the position has helped me grow a lot. On a very practical level, it's taught me a lot about the liturgy. It's helped me to be more comfortable with the liturgy. It's also taught me how to make mistakes in front of many people.
which I can assure you, after 34 years of priesthood, that you'll do for the rest of your life.
Right. Yeah, it's part of the office of the priest, right, to lead worship. And inevitably, that means that eyes are upon you, and we're human. They say the only perfect liturgy is in heaven. All that to say, yeah, I've had moments of making mistakes and then realizing that that at the end of the day, this is all for the glory of God. And most of the time, the only people who are aware of the mistakes are maybe myself and a few of the priests that are more attuned to what's going on. And so I would say like a major grace has been almost like a greater ease in the liturgy. Our Lord was so good to have given us the Mass and everything else. And he's the one doing the heavy lifting during the liturgy alongside the Holy Spirit, all for the glory of the Father. And in some ways, our role is simply to be open to him, to trust in what the church has given us, and to worship him and to rejoice and to celebrate these mysteries of our faith. And this position, this job at the seminary, allows me to practice at that almost every day. So I'm very thankful for it.
That's beautiful, and thanks for sharing that reflection on it. I think that's really helpful, and I think certainly all of you who are listening have seen what the Masters of Ceremonies do, especially when it's a celebration with your bishop, and it's those major celebrations. But here at the seminary, liturgy has a lot of moving parts, especially because we have the concelebrants and we have the seminarians who are learning how to do mm-hmm. these beautiful things in the liturgy, and we want to help them to do it well. And certainly, Deacon Drew's role is very important. And Deacon Drew, you mentioned something that certainly I can attest to, how beautiful it is to have spiritual children, especially through baptism. You had the opportunity to see me have a beautiful moment recently when we were together in Rome, and I want to talk a little bit of pilgrimage that we took to Rome just before Christmas. But I had the surprising experience of encountering a man who I did not realize is a seminarian at the Pontifical North American College in Rome, whom I baptized.
That's right.
And that was just a wonderful grace. To see, hey, this is how this young man whom I baptized 20-some years ago, preparing to be a priest of Jesus Christ. And it was just a great grace to have that moment. And as you said, the beauty of praying for people that we have brought to the Lord. We have been his instrument to make them be beloved sons and daughters of God, and whatever God is going to do in their lives. And yeah, that was for me a great grace.
Mm-hmm.
That occurred while we were finishing our pilgrimage to Rome, and that certainly was a moment of just a journey where we had a chance to see really the Catholicity experience, mm-hmm. the church as Catholic, the church as universal, and we're in contact with Peter in various ways. We celebrated Mass at the tomb of Peter, and we met the successor of Peter, and we saw the bones of Peter. So maybe just tell us a little bit about your experience of.
Absolutely. The evening we arrived, with the flight, I think we had been up more or less for 24 hours, I'm not sure. You lose track of time, but we arrived in the evening in Rome, and as soon as we had dropped our bags off at the seminary that we were staying at, we walked down to St. Peter's Square. And, you know, if you've seen pictures of St. Peter's Square, there are these columns that extend out from St. Peter's Basilica and almost like a circle. And as we were passing through those columns into the square, I myself had a clear sense of just the church embracing me and really being at home and just being so thankful for being Catholic. Just tremendous gratitude just that first evening, just standing there seeing an iconic basilica where so many saints, so many popes have been buried, standing on ground where so many Christians have been martyred, and then realizing that I'm somehow numbered among these great men and women, above all under our lordship of, the Lord Jesus Christ. And so that really kicked off the retreat for me, just sort of the sense of, even though I'm many miles away from home, that I'm actually home here in Rome. That's one grace that comes right to mind.
I'm going to interrupt you for a second and then ask you to tell a little more about the experiences. I think Bernini is in heaven very happy because your experience of seeing that, experiencing that embrace is exactly what he wanted people walking into St. Peter's Square and into the Bernini colonnade. That's exactly what he wanted people to feel.
From oh, praise God.
So.
Yeah. Yeah, so, it had the intended effect.
So tell us a little bit more about that.
Yeah,
about that, the pilgrimage.
Yeah, so as it unfolded, we spent a number of days in Rome. Going into Rome, I didn't have too many expectations. I did desire to go to the four major basilicas. These are essentially like the central churches in the city of Rome,
all of which had the holy doors for the Jubilee year. We were there right near the end.
Yeah, we were, the tail end of the Jubilee year, only more or less 2 weeks left in the Jubilee year. We were there in the novena leading up to Christmas. It was a time where I think Rome is always spiritually charged, but I think especially in the days leading up to Christmas, the close of the Jubilee year. If I could hold out one grace from all those days kind of walking around Rome, I would say it'd probably be at the church called the Gesù. It's a church that belongs to the Jesuits. And there are two things that particularly moved me. One, it's the burial place of St. Ignatius of Loyola, which was just, he's sort of played a very prominent role in my formation, especially his rules for discernment. It's just offered me a lot of guidance, and it's been sort of like a rock for me at times. And so to pray at his tomb, to give thanks to God for his life and his continued prayers in heaven, also in that church, there's a painting that struck me. It's as you enter the church to the right, there's a painting, and the title, in English at least, is St. Andrew Welcomes His Cross. And obviously, St. Andrew is a patron of mine. And this particular image, it just touched my heart. And then finally, the fresco that's along the vault of the Gesù, which is the ceiling, it's a fresco that you can't actually see unless it's illuminated. And in order to turn on the lights, you have to have a few euros to put into this like light machine.
Right.
And that particular evening that I was there, I didn't have any euros on me, and so I was looking up at it, and I just couldn't see much, and I was like, well, you know, oh well, I guess I'm not supposed to see this. But at one point, as I was walking around, I just heard the lights come on. Someone had paid a few euros to turn on the lights, and I just looked up, and I've never seen any painting like that before. The fresco is titled "The Triumph of the Holy Name of Jesus," and it's significant to me. That's the name of our cathedral in the Diocese of Raleigh, the Holy Name of Jesus Cathedral. And in so many ways, I just as much as I could crane my neck to look up at the ceiling, I just took that painting in. That whole church was a very prayerful afternoon and evening for me. It stands out as a grace for sure.
That is beautiful. And I know that you came back from Rome and did your canonical retreat, preparing you spiritually. So it's beautiful to come back from there. You went home for Christmas, and then you came on retreat. Mm-hmm. And it just struck me as you were talking that you, if I'm not mistaken, I believe you concluded your retreat on the Feast of the Holy Name of Jesus.
That's right.
And yeah. Which is a beautiful, a beautiful coincidence. And so, or I'm not sure there are God, but a beautiful,
certainly,
just really,
yeah.
a beautiful. And so you're preparing now for priesthood, and as maybe you've shared your own story and really how the Lord has been working within your life all these years. And now priesthood is on, just as you said, about 5 months away.
Mm-hmm.
What would you say to a young man who is who's thinking about the possibility of priesthood and maybe listening to this program, to Vocation Station? What would you say to him? Maybe he's a little scared, maybe he's excited. What words might you have for him?
First and foremost, I think of the words of St. John Paul the Great, who said at the start of his pontificate, be not afraid. At the end of the day, the call to the priesthood, if a man is truly being called, it's the greatest gift that I think that could be offered. And it's certainly normal, perhaps, to experience fear. I know that I've certainly been there. But it's a tremendous gift, and one that our Lord never expects us to answer right away. There's a whole process of answering that call, and He only asks us to take the next step. And so for the young man that's maybe sort of in his heart, in his mind, thinking, maybe the priesthood's a possibility for me. The church is here for you. Our Lord is here for you. And so I'd simply encourage him to reach out to a priest that he trusts, and to dive into his prayer life. Those are two simple first steps.
Wonderful. Thank you very much, Deacon Drew. It has been a joy to be with you. I would ask you all to pray for Deacon Drew as he prepares for priesthood of the Diocese of Raleigh, and to pray for all of us here at St. Paul Regional Seminary. God bless you all, and we will see you next month on Vocation Station.